Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith. 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 There's a spirit of faith that is rising up. There's a spirit of faith that is rising up in you, my children. You know that you walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, my spirit is rising up. My peace is rising up. My presence is rising up. Yes, you know the truth of my word, but where you've let your feelings come in and let your feelings trip you up, there's a new day. There is something new. There's a spirit of faith rising up. There's a spirit of faith rising up where you're walking by faith, where before you may be felt like it, like you were guessing. It's not going to feel like you're guessing anymore. There's a spirit of faith rising up. There's a spirit of faith rising up where you're taking steps and you know by faith in my word, and my word is sufficient for you. There's a spirit of faith rising up. Faith comes here by hearing and hearing by my word. And as you hear my word, there's a spirit of faith rising up that you're just going to simply do what I've told you to do in my word. And that's sufficient. That is sufficient. The feelings of guessing are gone. That day is past. There is a new day. A spirit of faith is rising up where you're walking by faith in my word. Faith comes first. Faith comes first. Step out in faith. That water will hold up underneath you. Step out in faith. I am there with you. There is a rising up in faith, my children, that is happening in my body. There's a rising up in faith that you're going to know that you know that you know. My word is true. Hallelujah.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, well, good morning again. We're going to go ahead and get started here in a passage in John. This is the Gospel of John, Jesus talking to his disciples. It says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Here's that verse 10 and a few other translations. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The New Living says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. You know, this is a powerful passage of Scripture. Jesus really kind of delineates some things here in his statement. He's basically saying, you know, when things come to steal, kill, and destroy, that's not me. That's a thief. When there is blessing of life and abundance and fulfillment and satisfaction of life, that's not the thief, that's me. Everything happens for a reason, yeah, but it's not the same reason. There's different reasons things will happen. There's things that happen because there's a thief, and there's things that happen because there's a Savior. And they're not the same person. That which steals, that which kills, that which destroys is the thief. You have an adversary who goes about as a roaring lion, and his name is not Jesus Christ. His name is Satan. It's the devil. There are two beings, the being of God Almighty, who is an eternal, everlasting being, and then the enemy, Satan, who's a created being who fell and was corrupted. They're not equal opposites. They're not even close as far as power, but they are opposite in terms of their agenda, their desire, their motive for your life. And that's what Jesus brings out here. There's a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and there's a good shepherd who wants to make you lie down in green pastures and lead you beside still waters and restore your soul. And as we're looking at the dichotomy of the thief and the shepherd, I want to take a look at it this morning as it relates to our ensuing Christmas season that we're coming into here. We're at December 3rd or 4th, somewhere around there. And this is about when you hit the turnbuckle for Christmas and things start to blur a little bit. It's like, whoa, okay, how many days? 21, where am I at? Shopping list, food, da-da-da-da-da, family, where are we going to put everybody? Or all that different kind of stuff. There's different issues and things that are going on in your head regarding this time of the year. And, I've had great Christmas seasons where I've just really savored the season, where I've just enjoyed the songs and the family and watching the old movies and just really been intentional about remembering Christmas and what Jesus did, and just experienced almost like a saturation of the joy of the Christmas season. And I've had other seasons where it's almost like it was stolen from. It was like going so fast, it was past. It's like, what happened? You know, it just went by me. It was a blur the whole time, and I never really enjoyed it the way I wanted to enjoy it. And so, you remember the old cartoon, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? Well, there's a thief, there's a Grinch, there's somebody who's going to try to steal your Christmas. I've had a few of them, I must say, that I've let slip past. Others that have been good. And this morning, basically, the message is simply savoring our Christmas season, all right? This is going to be the stop and take the time to smell the roses kind of a message, but it's going to be kind of the stop and take the time to just really savor this Christmas season. There's a Grinch that wants to speed it up and get it over and check the box and get past it. And I know there's stuff. I know there's issues. I know that this can be a great time of year for some people. It can be a hard time of the year for other people. And there can be reason to want to get past it and to be able to get on. But we have to remember what this season is about. We know that as Christians, it's not about the commercialism and all that stuff. It's about the birth of our Savior. And this Christmas, I just really, again, want to just take some time. And I'm doing this message as much for me this morning as I am for you, because I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that kind of the rush of things and boxes that I'm checking and things to get off my to-do list. And I'm just sensing that this is a great time for us of all people to really be able to enjoy our Christmas season this year. So these are just a few guidelines that I just want to give us this year as it relates to savoring our Christmas season. Remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, distract, take away from. God came that we'd have life and have it more abundantly. Let's see the life as we savor the Christmas season this year. And as we're savoring the Christmas season, the first aspect of I want to look at is simply this, and that is, hopefully I can get it, savoring our Christmas Savior, okay? Savoring our Christmas Savior, a no-condemnation Christmas. A no-condemnation Christmas. This is one of the reasons people don't care for Christians, even us as Christians, because there's stuff, issues, family stuff, different things like that. Condemnation people can put on you, da-da-da-da, all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that we're going to slow down and savor this Christmas season is our Christmas Savior. Jesus came not to just be part of a little picture in a nativity scene. He came for a very powerful purpose. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
You know, we look at that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We see that nativity scene, but we don't just see a pretty little scene. We see in that scene a Savior. We see that child born to us. For unto us that child was born. And we see a Savior in that manger scene. We see something else too, as it foreshadows. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All right? We get another beautiful picture of the Christmas story and of Jesus from another perspective. First, we see he's Savior, but now we see specifically what he's going to save us from. He's going to save us from our sins. And this is where it's so important as we savor our Christmas season this year to Savior, our Christmas Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to set us free from our sins. Now, I know I'm probably talking to a majority of Christians this morning, and I know this is ground we've been over and we know, okay? But let's bring it down home to today, to this Christmas season, to the situations that we've got going on here in 2022. Our relationships, our situations, the things that we've got going on, the weights and sins that so easily beset us, you know, maybe some of those things that you're waiting till January 1st to repent of and then make a New Year's resolution, you know, that are kind of weighing on you right now through the Christmas season. Let's take a look at some very specific things as it relates to this, Jesus saving us from our sins, because God has provided things in his word and by his spirit that he wants us to enjoy, to savor right now as it relates to the forgiveness of sins. Here's just a few scriptures put together. For if by one man's offense, talking about the original Adam, death reigned through one, how much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. In other words, that salvation, it was a gift of righteousness. Again, we didn't earn it. It was given to us as a gift. It is the original Christmas gift, is Jesus Christ, that gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. The Apostle Paul put it this way once when he's referring to this grace too. He said, I don't set aside the grace of God. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. We can know that we've got grace. We can know that he's provided it. We're saved by grace through faith. But as we're getting ready to collide into Christmas and come into the season, God wants us to come into the season with the abundance of grace. In other words, we've got a choice. When our conscience is bothering us with stuff, am I going to let that grace cleanse me, forgive me? Or am I going to live on top of stuff this Christmas season? We're saved by grace through faith. This is the choice that we have. Am I going to enjoy that grace, or am I going to set it aside this Christmas season? I'm not going to set it aside this Christmas season. I've decided I'm going to let that grace work in my heart life. This is what the Hebrew writer says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So as we're coming into the Christmas season, we've got a decision to make. Because the Grinch who wants to steal your Christmas wants to steal this. Now we can talk about grace and forgiveness, but it comes down to this. All grace and forgiveness, it has to do with your conscience. That's all the Grinch is really after. He's after your conscience. If your conscience isn't bothering you, well, let's read it. Let's look at the working of grace. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's a work of grace and grace through faith, but it's all about one thing: your conscience and your confidence toward God. I want to go through this Christmas season with confidence toward God, with a Holy Ghost godly swag of his authority and the price he paid for me, so that my conscience could be clear. To have a clear conscience. That's what grace produces. It touches your conscience. It cleanses your conscience from those dead works. Those dead works are either going to be cleansed from your conscience, or they're going to stay there condemning you. This is the power of the blood. It's activated as we confess our sins. He's faithful, because that price was paid, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us. That's the conscience cleansing actions that Hebrews is talking about there. It cleanses our conscience from all unrighteousness. So as we're talking about savoring our Christmas Savior, and you know the weights and sins that easily beset you. I know the ones that easily beset me. All right? They're the ones that will register as dead works and kind of make you live a little under that guilt and that shame. But when we go into this Christmas season, we're going to go into it this year saying, no, I'm not going to let that plague me. I'm going to simply do something. I'm just going to simply do what the Word says. I'm going to confess my sins, and I'm going to receive by faith the forgiveness of my sins and the cleansing from all unrighteousness. I'm not going to check my feelings. I like, you know, that verse up there, 1 John 3:20. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. The New Living actually says, if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. Good way to put it too. All right? God is greater than our heart. He's greater than how we feel. He's greater. His grace is greater. So we're going to have to go past those feelings and just accept by faith. In other words, when I say, I confess this sin, and I receive forgiveness of that sin, and I receive cleansing from all unrighteousness, if I'm going to savior the Savior, I'm going to allow myself to see myself clean. I am clean. I'm clean because the blood is sufficient to cleanse my conscience, not by works of righteousness which I have done. We understand this for the sinner coming to Christ for the first time, but that same humbling process is something that we grow up spiritually with our whole life. We got to come back to that. Why? But the blood is sufficient. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. I'm not going to let the Grinch steal my conscience this year. I'm going to let my Savior restore and cleanse. My heart condemns me. I am staying here, receiving that forgiveness, and I'm declaring I have confidence toward God. I mean, that's a big statement, isn't it? How can little old man have confidence toward God? There's only one way. That's through the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness that was given to us. We can't set it aside and go by anything else. It's a decision that we got to make this Christmas. The gift is there. Are we going to push that gift aside, or are we going to unwrap that gift and let that gift cleanse our conscience from dead works? Yeah, I get it this time of year too. There's condemnation. Maybe things that you've done wrong and relationship issues, and maybe Christmas is the reminder of that. But I can tell you this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When you're walking after the Spirit, you're coming boldly before that throne of grace, and you're receiving forgiveness and mercy. Praise God. There's no condemnation from God at all. Will people still condemn you and bring things up? Yeah, they can do that, but that's not God doing that. God loves you. He is for you. He has forgiven you. And so the voices of condemnation that are coming from out there, they're not coming from him. And I'm telling you what, when he cleanses you from all that unrighteousness, and you're right, you have confidence toward God. When you have confidence toward God, it's hard for people to get you off. When you're confident toward your God, and you know, somebody said so-and-so said what? And you have confidence toward God, and your conscience is clear before God. You can even own old mistakes and say, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that, and I'm sorry, but I'm clear. I'm, you know, and you can do what you can do to make peace with people as far as that goes, what God chose you to do. But you don't have to get condemned and beat up because you have confidence toward God. People can't, you know. There's something about that confidence toward God. I found that. A lot of times that's really what we want. That's the heart cry of man, to just get confidence toward God again. And that's what our Christmas Savior is. It's going back and say, hey, look, he didn't die for a pretty Christmas card. He died to save his people from their sins. What does that mean? We're saved by grace through faith, but our consciences are cleansed by the power of that blood that has the ability to restore my conscience toward God again and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So it's important to see that. I'm making that decision this morning, praise God, that I'm going to do it, that I'm going to walk in that. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want a righteousness that's of my own efforts. I want to be found in you with the gift of righteousness, with the blood of Christ that can cleanse my conscience, that can give me my conscience back and restore my confidence toward you right now. By faith, I confess my weights, my sins that have easily beset me. There they are. They are dead works, but there is a powerful blood that I receive now that cleanses those dead works and restores my conscience, my confidence toward you. I've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. I am clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it. I savor it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. That's all we can do. That's faith. That's our part. And I'm so glad that if we have feelings of guilt, he's greater than our feelings. And faith in his word and the blood that backs his forgiveness does cleanse our conscience from those dead works. The other aspect is savoring our Christmas peace, letting his peace rule. Savoring our Christmas, let's talk about our Christmas peace. What does that look like? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Luke, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. This is the fulfillment. Saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here's the other big, wonderful aspect that we can lift up and savor this Christmas season that can keep the, keep the Grinch from stealing our Christmas. Because one of the things that the Grinch loves to steal, not just your conscience, but he wants to steal your peace. Christmas is all about peace. It's all about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Prince of Peace, his peace, there will be no end. The peace of God. It's great to have a clear conscience, but it's amazing when there's a supernatural peace. So, Jesus is born into the manger with that proclamation of peace. Now, as Jesus is getting ready to depart this earth, he has another proclamation of peace of his own. He says this, Peace I leave with you. My peace, think of another Christmas gift here. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, you're seeing this peace, again, something not earned, but it is a gift that is given to us. In fact, when you look at the kingdom of God, it's righteousness and it's peace and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. They're all gifts. They're all given. They're nothing that we did to merit them. There's a supernatural peace. In the same way, I couldn't do anything for the forgiveness of, or the cleansing of my conscience, but just receive it. There's another action as it relates to peace that all I can do is receive it by faith. You'll notice Jesus' language. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But that's in conjunction with what he just got done saying, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, there's a choice. There's a choice between letting my heart be troubled or letting his peace rule. And that's just kind of how the Apostle Paul describes it later. He says, let the peace that comes from Christ that he gave to us rule in your hearts. Let. I love the word let is huge. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. We know in Philippians 4, he describes it as, let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Jesus gave us, again, this supernatural gift of his peace. In the same way, he gave us that gift of righteousness and that gift of forgiveness. And really, when it comes to his peace, in the same way, you know, we'll confess our sins and receive by faith that cleansing and forgiveness, there's also that place where we're casting our cares, we're letting our requests be made known unto God, you know, we're addressing them before him, but then there's a letting that peace. And this is where it's faith again. You know, the enemy is a liar. One of the biggest lies that the enemy has is that you don't have a choice. You do have a choice. And that's what this is saying. When Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled, he's letting you know that you haven't lost your free will. You have the ability to let not your heart be troubled. It takes faith. It takes faith to not know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but to just trust God. He's saying, you can do that. My peace is something I've given to you. All right? Peace is not the result of having figured something out and, okay, now I got peace. No, it's a peace that passes your understanding. And so God calls us to let that peace rule. We got to let it pass our understanding. It's there. Why can we do this, or how can we do this? I know it's an act of, it's a proposition of faith to do this. Trust God. Trust me. I'm there. My peace is there. But this is what I want us to understand and kind of bring this whole idea down. And it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but it's one that this time of year especially we need to come back to. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is where we could call it casting your cares on the Lord, but or whatever it is. But basically he's saying, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He doesn't say, again, he doesn't say, come unto me, all my good, perfect children who have never missed a devotion time, who perfectly walk in the Spirit and never fulfill the lust of the flesh. He doesn't say that. He doesn't qualify that with people who are dotting their I's and crossing their T's. I'll tell you what, if you're really walking in the Spirit, now you're walking in a place of life and peace already. You're walking, you're enjoying, you're reaping. No, he's talking to somebody. He's saying, come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden. He's not just talking about physical labor. He's talking about a kind of laboring. He's talking about soul labor. He's talking about laboring in your soul. He's talking about a heavy ladenness in your soul. How do we know that? Because you're going to find rest for your souls. That's what he's trying to relieve here. What are we talking about? We're talking about savoring our Christmas peace, letting peace rule. So many times we think, I'm trying to get something. I'm trying to attain to something. I'm trying to get spiritually fit. I'm trying to achieve this spiritual utopia. where I have total peace. And we got to remember, peace is a gift. It was given to us, just like grace was given to us, and we have a decision to let it rule or to not let it rule. I can set aside the grace of God, or I cannot set aside the grace of God. I can let peace rule, or I cannot let peace rule. There's a decision, and there's a savoring of this decision that we have at Christmas time. And this is where Jesus is calling people who are laboring in their souls. He's calling all you who are laboring with rejection and anger and hatred and guilt and shame. He's calling those who are laboring, all those who think that you've given up on me by now. I'm calling you to come. All of you who are laboring and heavy laden, there's a call. There's an invitation to come. What do you find? Rest for your soul. You find peace. I'm gentle and I'm lowly in heart. And that's where this time of year, there's stuff. Praise God, He forgives, cleanses. But there's also stuff, there's issues, there's things, again, where regardless, you know, of who's done what, there is rest for your soul. And I think when it comes to Christmas and this time of year especially, this is where we come unto Him and say, Lord, here's the things that are causing me to be laboring and heavy laden this year. In the same way you can confess sin, you can also cast cares. And this is where you can be very specific and just say, Lord, I'm laboring. I'm heavy laden. I need rest for my soul in this area. The things of God are not complicated. They're super simple. God loves little tiny prayers. He actually gave an example once of a publican and a tax collector who went up to pray. The publican had a big, long, flowery prayer about all the amazing things that he did for God. The publican, the Pharisee had the big, long prayer about all the great things he did for God. The publican had a very short little, about a five-word prayer, you know, forgive me. I'm sorry? Tax collector. Yeah, the tax collector had the short prayer who just said, you know, Father, forgive me, a sinner. That's it. And Jesus said, that guy went home justified. When we're praying, and it's really heavy and it's really powerful, it's just simple faith. It's just a simple casting your care on the Lord. And then saying, I'm going to let my heart not be afraid. I'm going to let it not be troubled. It's not how dramatic, it's just simple faith. The Spirit of God responds to simple faith. That's it. And when He does, and you experience that peace, you go, wow, this is God, not me. He answers those prayers. He responds to those simple prayers of faith. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come unto You. You can see those things that are causing me to labor in my mind, to be heavy laden about. You see the people issues. You see the relationship issues. You see the financial issues. You see all these things. And yet, You tell me to come. So here I am. I place these things, these cares in my heart. I cast them upon You. Each person, each situation, each financial issue, I place them on You in Jesus' name. And I come unto You, and I find rest for my soul. You really are meek. You really are lowly in heart. You really are a safe place. I receive Your rest. I will not set aside the peace of God. I will let it rule in my heart. I always have the choice to choose the peace over my understanding. To let Your peace keep my heart, keep my mind in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Receive that, that peace of God. It's simple. And it's just those little decisions. Even with grace, you can have little guilt thoughts come back and say, nope, I've chosen. I'm cleansed. I've chosen the blood. I'm not setting aside the grace of God. I'm not going to get talked out of it. I'm keeping the grace of God front and center. Same with peace. Sure, the enemy's going to come back and try to roar the relationship, the financial thing, and say, no, I've cast that care on the Lord. Same way I've confessed that sin, received cleansing, I've cast that care. I'm going to keep in that. I'm going to stay. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. I'm going to let it pass my understanding, which means I don't have to have understanding to have peace. I have my peace goes out ahead of my understanding. And I have permission for that. God gives me that permission. So I can go there and let that peace rule. And then finally, just savoring our Christmas presents, the present of his presence, all right? This is really the big, big one. Oh, that kind of restores what we lost in the garden, you could say. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. For God wanted them to know the riches of the glory of Christ, for God wanted them to know what the riches of the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Praise God. This is the glory, this is the Christmas promise of Emmanuel, God with us, and this is the follow-through of that promise. He came to be with us as that baby in the manger, as God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. But he also wasn't just with us at that moment in time. Now, as children of God, he lives in us by his Spirit. His presence is in us. This is one of the most important blessings, I think, that we can remember at this Christmas season. Because the ministry of presence is probably one of the most powerful ministries there is. I remember hearing an interview of Stephen Curtis Chapman. Many of you might know him, some of his music and whatnot, but their family went through a really bad tragedy where it was an auto accident. Basically, their son was pulling out and happened to hit their 7-year-old daughter, you know, a brother and his sister. And it was just tragic, horrible, you know, one of those things. And it's one of those things that's just like, you know, what do you say? And the interviewer was just kind of interviewing Stephen Curtis, and he was just kind of reliving some of that, you know, that tragedy and the funeral and different things like that. And the interviewer asked one of the most profound questions I think I've ever heard asked. He said, you know, Stephen, when people were coming up to you at that horrible tragedy and they were giving you, you know, their encouragement and their words of wisdom and their scriptures and all that different stuff, of all the people who tried to minister to you during that time, he said, what was the most effective, powerful encouragement anybody really ever gave you that helped you through that? And just watching the interview, it was like Stephen Curtis Chapman didn't even hesitate. He said, when people would come up here and say, there are no words. We love you. We're with you. We're here. He said, because so many times people are coming up and you almost feel like you're having to comfort them. And he said, but when you just say that, it's just presence. I don't have to come back. I can just receive that. We love you. We're here. No words. I'm not trying to fix a situation. I'm just here, and I love you. You know, the psalmist, he could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil just because of one thing. You're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And part of savoring, wow, that Christmas presence, the present of his presence, is to realize no matter who is or who isn't around the table, at whatever day of the you celebrate Christmas or don't, he's there. His presence is there. And there's a, of all the things you can be intentional about in Christmas season, being intentional about knowing that he is there. The whole purpose of this cross was his presence, to get what we lost in the garden, that we no longer run from the presence of God, but we live in the presence of God. Christ lives in you. The hope of glory. We can be intentional about that and say, Lord, yeah, and boy, we've got our stories, backstories, 15 reasons why you could either feel sorry for yourself, victim, or regret, or whatever it is. Again, God's blood cleanses the shame and the guilt. His peace is supernaturally there to sustain your heart and mind. You can choose it. Cast the what ifs and on him. Let him care those for you. But there's also the receiving his presence, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the presence of God. I can be intentional and say, Lord, you're with me. You know, a phrase that I've just got in my heart, no matter who's done what to me, it can't undo what God did for me 2,000 years ago in Christ. And what he did was to restore the presence of God. Interestingly enough, Stephen Curtis wrote a song who went through this, and he actually wrote this song before that tragedy had happened, but it's actually one of his Christmas songs. He says, one of us is crying as our hopes and dreams are led away in chains and we're left all alone. One of us is dying as our love is slowly lowered in the grave and we're left all alone. But for all of us who journey through this dark abyss of loneliness, there comes a great announcement. We are never alone. For the maker of each heart that breaks, the giver of each breath we take, has come to earth and given hope its birth. And our God is with us, Emmanuel. He's come to save us, Emmanuel. And we will never face life alone, now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end, Emmanuel. He spoke with prophets' voices, showed himself in a cloud of fire, but no one had seen his face until the one most holy revealed to us his perfect heart's desire and left his rightful place. And in one glorious moment, all eternity was shaken as God broke through the darkness that kept us apart. With love that conquers loneliness and hope that fills all emptiness, he came to earth to show our worth. So rejoice, Emmanuel has come, and our God is with us, Emmanuel. He's come to save us, Emmanuel. We will never face life alone, now that God has made himself known as Father and friend with us through the end, Emmanuel. One of the most beautiful things this Christmas season is to not go through this Christmas season alone. And I don't care how many family and friends. We happen to have our whole family coming with us on Christmas Day. Wow, it's the first time in 5 years, all right? We know we get it, just the how different things and natural. But, you know, sometimes you got family issues and things like that. But regardless of who can or who can't be there, it's going through this Christmas season with the one who loved you and gave himself for you. His presence. He's at the table. He's at your Christmas table. He's at you. He's with you every step of the way through the season. He came. He died. Shed his blood so that he could be with us. He could be Emmanuel, God with us. Just being intentional about believing that. And not only that, but Jesus, before he left, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We know that he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And I'm so thankful for that. He abides with us forever. But he's coming back for us someday, that where he is, we may be also. He's going to come with the shout, the trump. Come with those who've already gone home to be with Jesus. And we who are alive and remaining should be caught up together with them, together collectively. Christians past, present, family reunion in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's all about ultimately together. It's all about ultimately the together in his presence and the presence of the family of God. There's a togetherness. There's a presence of God that he has for us. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I will never be alone. Your precious Holy Spirit lives in me. Christ in me. The hope of my glory. And I cry, Abba, Father, because you are my Father. And you never leave me. You never forsake me. No matter who's done what to me, it can't undo what you did for me 2,000 years ago. I am your child. I invite your presence. Emmanuel, be God with me. I see your presence. I receive your love, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. So that's it. Savoring our Christmas season. Savoring our Lord as Savior. Slowing down. You know, when you do Christmas and you get that Christmas dinner, the word savor, by the way, just to kind of get the technical definition out of the way, it simply means to taste, could be good food or drink, and enjoy it completely. Now, you can hork down Christmas dinner, or you can really enjoy it and savor it and enjoy the flavors and all that. And that is what I just sense the Lord wants us to do. Yeah, we've heard this. We've seen this. It's same Christmas dinner. Enjoy your Savior. Really, no condemnation Christmas. If you're experiencing condemnation, you don't have to set aside that grace of God. You can pull that present in and receive that. Anxiety, things, troubles, issues. Man, I don't have to solve my anxieties to have peace. That's so simple. Yeah, so is salvation. Simple. That's what he's bringing us back to. Simple faith. Just a simple faith. Saying, okay, I'm going to let your peace rule. That's simple. Yeah, I'm going to let it rule. Good voices, yeah, I'm going to let the peace of God rule. I'm going to let it rule. Cast that care. Praise God. And let his presence be there. Praise God in your heart, in your mind. Father, I thank you for this time that we could enjoy. I just pray for each of us this morning, this Christmas season, that you help us by your Spirit to just slow down on the inside and remember why we're celebrating this whole event in the first place. It's because you came as a real Savior. We see it. We thank you for it. And we just pray, Father, your presence, your Spirit, your precious joy of Christmas just goes with us this Christmas season. Every person, every relationship, every dinner, every present, all the stuff, the trimmings, whatnot. Lord, we see your presence. We see your love that forgives us, that carries our cares, that's meek and lowly in heart. Lord, we let you be the Savior you are. We let your blood cleanse our conscience. We let your peace rule. We let your presence fill our hearts and comfort us in ways that no human being can. We thank you for your presence this Christmas season, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Like I said, man, that was just as much as for me as for you guys. Just felt things speeding up. Need to tap the brakes and just enjoy why we're here and who we are here for. Praise God.